Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Do you want to fight your battles from your own strength? Because, Frida, I am weak, but thou art strong. That's the gospel. That's a revelation that I cannot do it in my own strength. And so when things get bad, when we have to start asking that question, how much longer are you going to take that? That's a tough question because it's saying, don't just sit there, do something. Right? Don't just sit there, do something to get God's attention. So here's the truth. And this is the wonderful thing about church, is everything outside these walls can be a potential lie if you don't have discretion. Not knowledge. You don't have to be intelligent. You just have to have enough wisdom to say, is what I'm hearing line up with the word of God or not? As Brother Hagin said, be open-minded, but not so open-minded that your brains fall out. You really do have to look at what you're seeing and hearing and reading and filter it through the word of God and through your own discretion. So the truth is that prayer changes things. And not all pain is bad. I don't want any pain. I know that. But if pain will lead you to the cross, if it will lead you to an altar, if it will lead you to fall on your knees and admit your dependence upon him, then it's doing its job. You serve a supernatural God. Why would you want to solve all your problems without a supernatural God? I do a lot of study of science, and what I love is I know that in the Andromeda galaxy that the laws of physics are being obeyed. I know that everywhere in the universe, atoms are following the laws of gravity. Everything is following the laws of God. We'll call them the laws of God. You can call them the laws of physics if you want, but all laws are laws of God. Now, but here's what I want you to get. Here's the important part of that. There's a but. All things in the universe follow the laws of God, but. You go, how could there be a but? Doesn't everything have to follow the laws of physics? Not the one that wrote it. The guy that wrote the laws of physics can break the laws of physics. The guy that walked on water doesn't care about what the laws of physics say. The God that stopped the sun in the sky doesn't care what the laws of gravity are. And the same God that looks at your body and your situation doesn't care what the banker says, doesn't care what the doctor says, doesn't even care about the laws of physics. That's where we take our problems and say, God can handle this in a supernatural way. Come on, that's exciting. So the problems are an opportunity for us to connect with the supernatural. And as Pam says, you don't wait until the storm comes to start building the storm shelter. You don't wait to fix the hole in the roof until the rain comes. We have to be prepared ahead of time for everything, for temptation. You go, I don't have to be prepared for temptation, Pastor Ken, because God will not tempt us. You are so right, but Satan will. That's his job. And he's got a playbook on you. Now, your playbook may say alcohol. Your playbook may say sexual sin. But Satan knows where you're weakest. And he knows, but that's the... And so, I'm going to pass this over to Pam. But when we are in the Word, whether we're hearing the Word or even singing the Word, it reminds us of who God is and who we are. And I would submit to you today, no matter how much trouble you're in today, if you can, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you can connect to heaven and get your faith working, Now you're not working on the laws of nature anymore. You're not living out of your five senses. You're actually asking God, give me something supernatural here.
We do need to be prepared. We must be prepared, especially in these last of the last days. The ark was not built in the rain. The ark was built for the rain. You don't wait. You have to be prepared. You know, people, you know, why do we have a military today? Why do we have an army? Why are we paying all these guys? There's no war. I don't see no war. Nobody's going away. Why are we paying these guys? Because we're wise. We're getting prepared. We don't just go to battle and someone say, hey, here's a gun. Figure out how to use it. It's time. Figure out what you're going to do now that people are. We have to stay prepared. And part of that preparation is living for God, is trusting God. Daniel, we've been teaching on Monday night on Daniel, and Daniel had purposed in his heart to live for God. He didn't know there was even a lion's den that existed. He didn't know I might be thrown to the lions. This might happen. But it did happen, and he was prepared because he prayed. You know, I see God's people living from crisis to crisis, it seems like, even God's people, because they're unprepared. They don't have the word inside them. We have to. Otherwise, we're going to be in a world of trouble, and we're going to take so much abuse from the enemy. We have to be prepared. And part of that preparation is, you might say, I talk about, are you desperate for God? Here's the deal. You don't have to wait until a crisis. You can be desperate for God today. Say, I'm desperate for God. I'm having a good day. I'm having a wonderful day. I have no more food poisoning. It's gone. But I'm desperate for God. I'm as desperate for God as I was last night when I was suffering, because I know how much I need him. For every breath, I need him. Try doing without a breath and you'll realize you're desperate for God. Try holding your breath and seeing how desperate you get for God, for breath. You know, hey, and you know what? But I think so many people try to live. They're on this roller coaster. I serve God. I'm faithful for a couple weeks and then I'm not. I fall off. I come to church one service, but then I don't come for another, two or three. And hey, I tried it too. I tried living for God part-time, but it was miserable. And you know how, here's the thing. At the time, I wasn't desperate for God. And you know my story about traveling home and I was in the car. But here's the thing. I wasn't desperate for God, but I was desperately unhappy. And I was desperately afraid. And I was desperately alone. But finally, I got desperate for God. And, you know, I don't just want to love God. I want to be in love with God, where he's all I think about, you know, in the night. I love to just go downstairs in the den. You know, my coffee table is my altar down there, and now it's outside. I get to step out the patio, and I love that to just, David mentioned to me last night, there's a full moon, and I decided I'm going to go outside. I was sick anyway, and praise the God who causes that full moon to shine. That's the God I'm desperate for. That's the God who's going to heal me of this food poisoning. That's the God who's going to help me when the attacks are coming through that phone relentlessly. That's the God who hung that moon in the sky. And I am so thankful for that. You know, I want to tell you something. You may have troubles, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow night, and you feel like you're not getting through to anybody. You cannot talk to almost a living soul. I can tell you, you can talk to the guy who hung the full moon last night. You can talk to him, the guy who brought the sun up this morning, who sends the rain to the earth and the snow. And you know what else you can do in your desperation? You can be honest with God. You can be truthful and say, God, nobody, I was telling God something last night. Nobody sees what's happening right now to me, but I know you see it all. I know that you read everything. I know you heard everything. We were talking yesterday about how Sarah laughed in within herself, the Bible says. You know what? God seen it, and he heard that laugh inside. And God seen what's happening to me, and he sees what's happening to you. He knows what's going on in your life, but we've got to get desperate for him, or you know what's going to happen? The enemy's going to hit you and hit you and hit you, and he's going to wear you down. He's going to wear you down and beat you down till you just say, I can't come to church. When you're in pain, Let me tell you the advice I give people who are in desperate pain. Get yourself in God's house and keep worshiping. The minute you stop worshiping and take one step back out of the presence of God, away from obedience to God, you're going down. You're going down. And you may, here's the thing too. It's not an overnight thing. Do you know that falling away from God is not an overnight thing? It's not. You don't just go, I'm done serving God. Okay. It was, no, you drift away. It's like on a boat. I just drift a little. I just do a little more things of the world. I go a few more places. I used to, I let down my guard. Daniel never did that. Even with what he was going to eat or drink, I can't do that either. So let's get desperate for God.
It's so true. One night we had I was on a boat. It was a power boat. And we were heading towards shore, and we got about 3 feet from the shore, and the engine quit. And, well, we were 3 feet from shore. But we tried to restart the boat with the wind. Now we were 5 feet from shore. Before it ended up, we were 2 miles from shore.
Right.
And we couldn't get that engine to start, all because we lost our power.
Uh-huh.
When we're not connected to God's power, we're doing it in our own strength. And we tried to paddle on our own strength, but we realized we needed that power. The boat was too big. The boat was too heavy. We were just wasting our time trying to paddle. I have shared before, I heard a Bible school was asking the students to give testimonies, and everyone was giving the struggles they were going through and how God was working in their life. And one young man stood up and he said, I don't really have a testimony, nothing. I don't have any problems. I don't have any issues. Everything is working great in my life. No problems with the devil. So my testimony is everything is great. And the teacher said, that's the worst testimony I ever heard.
Yes, it is.
The point is, if you never face the devil, you're walking the same way he is. If you never meet him, you're probably walking with him, or you're walking along his same path. But each of us has got to decide who you want to be. And I want to tell you something about who you are. You are whoever you want to be. You are. If you say, I cause division everywhere I go, well, then that's who you want to be. But if you say, I love God everywhere I go, I choose to be holy. It's not just that you're holy. You chose to be holy. And if you say, I look at my life and it is not holy, I have not lived holy up to this point. And I would say to you, your former righteousness that you had will have nothing to do with how you are now, and your former unrighteousness will not be held against you if you turn to God. In other words, I don't care if you've lived unholy your entire life. Why are you living unholy today? You can look in the mirror and say, this is who I am. And I like using those words, I am, because I was created after God in his image. I'm supposed to be like him. I'm supposed to love like him. I'm supposed to be desperate, as desperate for him as he is for me. So a lot of this is changing. And I've talked about this before with Pam, not necessarily in church. There's a tendency for humans, and if someone you've known forever, I know people, they have the same personality at 48 as they had at 8. Have you ever met someone that just doesn't change? And you're like, you haven't met him, seen him in 30 years. And you're like, yep, that's the same old, same old, same, no change. What? Doesn't have to be that way. We're supposed to have personal growth. We're supposed to be more and more like Jesus and less like ourselves. So we all share having desperate times. And I've never meant this to be like a doomsday prophecy to people, but I've always said it anyway because it is the truth. Whenever anyone says to me, I've hit rock bottom, I immediately tell them, you're not even close.
That's right. Yes.
How many of you, and you know I'm right, because how many of you said to yourself, things can't get any worse, and then 5 minutes later, oh wow, they're lots worse.
Yeah.
They're just lots worse. So getting in trouble is not the same thing, or even recognizing that you're in trouble. The question is how much longer until we turn to God. Because I promise you, human nature, you really only have two paths when life goes bad. Yes. You can blame God, get angry at God, whether you admit it or not, or you can draw close to God. Yes. You can draw close to God. It is such a temptation to blame God or to throw shade at God or whatever. But that's not the response that Jesus is looking for. And we see that in the New Testament when people got really desperate and came to him and threw themselves at his feet and said, "You're my answer." That's when God moved. I don't ever remember God moving when someone was swearing at God. And you've heard me say this before. My job used to be to pilot death, airplane accidents. So I've listened to a lot of black box recordings of what the pilot says right before they die. How many of them are saying, "In the name of Jesus, I declare life"? None. And my theory on that is I only got to hear the ones that died. I've never heard someone crying out to God that died. But I have heard those pilots in their last seconds damning God. Think about that. You're about to die. And what's that? You would think, well, couldn't you turn to God? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And even though you could legitimately turn to God at the last minute. Proverbs 3:7 says, oh, and by the way, I know I'm all over the place. But Pam mentioned Daniel's life. What an example for us to follow. This young man that would not compromise on his faith, on his love, on his God. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will bring health and healing to your body and nourishment to your bones. So doesn't that scripture sound a lot like in the Old Testament said people did what was right in their own eyes? So Satan is always saying, "Hath God said, hath God said." So God tells us to live holy, and we have to decide. And here's something that I believe is from God, and I think it's something important to realize. All sin that's in your life or my life is only there with your permission. Okay? All sin in your life is only there because you have given it permission. Right? So if you swear all the time, you have given yourself permission to swear all the time. And I would tell you, go, well, you're going to get legalistic on us. Yeah, why are you swearing? What's wrong with you? Seriously, I'm your pastor. Why in the heck are you swearing? What is wrong with you? Be holy. Control yourself. That's from me, your pastor. Control yourself. It's not a good example. You're not. Can you receive that? Because if we can't receive correction, now, if we don't correct ourselves and live holy as he is holy, someday we are going to be judged. Judge yourself that you be not judged. Look in the mirror and decide who you want to be. I look in the mirror and I say, I want change for myself. And I want what Dan was saying. I want that desperation for God. I want God to know that I want to be more and more like him. I don't want people to say he's the same Ken he was. I want to change. I want to have more love in my life. I want to have more of God in my life. I want to be bolder for God. And when necessary, I want to speak the word with authority. Because there, you know, the world wants to say there are no rules. The world wants to say, do whatever is right in your eyes. And I would say, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. It's right there, and we've got to preach it, we've got to teach it, and we've got to live it. And I said that sin can only be in your life with permission, and you say, but Pastor Ken, I thought the Bible said that sin can control us. It can, but it only controls you to the extent you gave it control. You may have someone in your life that's wrecking and ruining it. They're there by your permission. If you have a snake in your living room, it's there by your permission. Eve, if you have a snake in your garden, It's only there by your permission because God said, I give you authority over this garden. Do what you want. Adam and Eve could have took that snake and thrown it away. And so every day, we get a chance to choose who we're going to be and what we're going to be.
It's very, very true. Everything is a choice. We're a sum. The saying goes, you're a sum of all of the choices that you have made in life. That's who you are. The choices you have made, I'm saying for good today, have led you into the house of God. So that is a good thing. But who we are in reality, just being here is not good enough because we do have to make a choice to live for God wholeheartedly, 100%. God doesn't want the part-time lover. He doesn't want a Sunday morning drop-in. He wants you full-time to be surrendered. And my question is, what is it going to take in our life? How many people have to get sick and die? How many people have to get so broken to, like Pastor Ken said, You're at rock bottom. You think you're at rock bottom and you still have a few floors left to go down. I've seen people who I thought, surely you're at the bottom, and they thought they were, but they had a lot longer ways to drop down. But if I'm going to say it like this, you are one step away from a better life. You are one choice away from a better life, and that choice is to serve and obey God. Love, serve, honor, and obey God 100%. That means if God says don't do something, do not do it. If God says to do this, that's what we should do 100%. People, a lot of people have asked me this question in the area of tithing, but in other things, do you have to do that? No, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to breathe. I want to obey God 100%. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. I want to do more. I want to do more. And I know some of you did because we recently took an offering for a situation. I know that we want to do. I want to do more than God has just required of me. I don't just want to do the bare minimum. That's not showing love. How is that love if I just cook just I can barely get by with this. Here's the meal, Dave. Here's the meal, Mom. That's it. I don't do anything above and beyond. There's no, how about giving God dessert? How about adding to what we're supposed to be doing and doing beyond that? And Ken's right. We get to choose whom we serve. We choose blessings and curses. But we do need to live to that higher standard. Why don't we examine our own heart and hold ourselves accountable since we have been desperate people and get desperate for God? Most of you remember when I was sharing on a Monday night about Princess Diana, when before she took the throne, she was basically a school teacher and a commoner, and she had to go to classes. Well, what kind of classes? Classes that teach you about being royalty. Is what they were. And they told her, they didn't just tell her, Pastor Ken, don't swear. They said, you're not to use the word stupid. You're not to use the word dumb. You're not to use no when it's not necessary. I mean, they really held her to the fire. You're to be silent when it's a time. They held her to the standard of royalty. Are we not kings and priests of the Most High God? Are we not the children of the Most High King? Should we not be set apart? Should we not do better than the world? Or are we just going to live like a commoner and miss the inheritance that God has for us? What if you were told you had an inheritance that you were entitled to, but someone's trying to take it away from you? Do you know that the enemy's trying to steal, rob, kill, and destroy? He's trying to take away all the blessings God wants to give you, but he does it by causing us to be disobedient to God, because a disobedient person is not a blessed person. The Father does not bless, my dad didn't, and our Heavenly Father does not bless disobedience in the kingdom. I need to do what God has told me to do, no matter what it costs me, no matter what it is. And I need to be on the offensive, because I'm going to say it like this. Are you tired of the enemy? I'm going to do a commercial. Are you tired of the enemy beating you up day after day, hour after hour? Are you tired of the arrows coming at you? Is enough enough yet for you to serve God? That's my commercial. You know, why don't we, instead of, how many of you have lived on the defensive where the enemy threw things at you and you're just like, not again. Oh no, just you're warding off things. It's time to get offensive. You know, I'm getting offensive. I'm getting a little bolder than I used to with the devil. I really am. I got real bold last night with the devil. I think that may be why I got in trouble. But I got real bold with him. I'm offended at the devil. That means I'm going to be offensive. You know what offensive in your resisting the devil is? It's praying harder. It's confessing the word. It's doing what Sandra did, making declarations. It's being strong in the things of God. Don't make his job easy. Don't make his job easy. Here's what the Isaiah 54:17 says. No weapon formed against you, me, shall prosper. It won't work, devil. And every tongue, you go ahead and talk, you go ahead and wag your tongue, that shall rise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You best not mess with me. Frida, you're the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Them haters, them naysayers, they better not mess with you. Tony, back there, he better not mess with you. He messed with the wrong person. No weapon form shall prosper. Any tongue that rises up against you will be brought to an open shame. Give it some time. You win.
And that's why, as Pam's talking about the power of the tongue, that's why I'm talking about what's coming out of your mouth. You know, you're being legalistic. No, I'm not. I'm trying to prevent you from cursing yourself and cursing your own life and cursing other people. When you're cursing, you're literally cursing. Think about it. You're sending out curses. Why would you want to curse yourself? Because an undeserved curse returns. You go, why is my life such a mess? Well, because you're cursing it all day long. But and what does the Bible say? Out of the same mouth is coming blessings and cursings. These things ought not to be. So if you're drinking from a well, you don't go, well, it's half fresh water and half, you know, half sewer water, but it's, at least it's half fresh. No, you can't have half and half and still have holiness. So the things that are in our life that come to discourage us, what we have to do to get on a better path, to get out of the rut, to get out of the ditch, to get out of the, I think life should be better than this, is we've got to connect with God. In order to connect with God, we've got to go before him. We've got to ask him to connect. We've got to invite, you've got to invite God into your life. You've got to invite him into your heart. You've got to invite him into our church. You've got to invite him into your family. You've got to invite him into your car. And like Samson of old, the Spirit of God departed from him and he didn't realize it. The Holy Spirit will ride with you as long as he can stand it. You know, he'll walk with you, but there comes a point where he's like, I can't go where you're going. I can't hear what you're hearing. I can't listen to what you're listening to. The Holy Spirit, he's like, I'm sorry. This is, you may have given yourself permission, but the Holy Spirit says, I can't go with you in that. So we know that there's a body of Christ. There's a spiritual body, and we know that we have a physical body. So I want you to replace the organs of your body. We're going to replace your lungs with praise, okay? But you have vital organs, don't you? You have organs that, you have a heart, you have lungs, you have a kidney, and I'm not going to try to match them all up with different things. I just want to say this, that when, if we had praise as one of our organs, and the Word of God is one of our organs, and you know, prayer was one of the organs, and if those things started to shut down, see, that's what happens. The enemy wants you to quit, and just like a doctor will say his organs are shutting down. So what if your praise shuts down? That's like your lungs are shutting down. But what if the word in you? What if you quit pursuing God? What if your love shuts down? What would happen if those things in the physical, if a doctor said, looks like his heart, lungs, and kidneys are shutting down? That means that you're on life support, And I got news for us. Jesus isn't on life support, And in heaven, there is power, there is healing, there's a river of life, and we can get those organs function. We got to get our praise functioning again, right? We got to get our mouth functioning the way it's supposed to. We've got to get our heart functioning the way it's supposed to, because Satan doesn't care what sin you get into. He doesn't care if you decide to come to church every service and say praise God. If he can get you into spiritual pride, he's gotcha, right? He doesn't care what you do. He doesn't care what the sin is. He doesn't care if it's sexual sin. If that's not your thing, he doesn't care. He'll find something else. If it's your thing, he'll find that. But what he wants you to do, because if you succeed, let's say that you succumb to a sexual sin. It doesn't matter what it is. I'll just use it as an example. You succumb to a sexual sin. Now what's on your, you are painted in guilt. You're painted in guilt. Your heart is painted in guilt. If I say, will you come and lead a song? You're like, not today, Pastor. Will you come and give? Not today. I'm just going to be here in the rear with the gear. You know, and human beings are motivated by shame. We are. We're motivated by shame. And that shame will cause us to quit on God, and we'll start drifting like that boat drifts, Pam. We'll start drifting. But instead, the Bible says to be strong and courageous, that God is with you, that he's an ever-present help in the time of need. And I'll say one other thing, and give this to Pam. And I have said this before, so it is a repeat, but resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Okay. And we know we have an enemy. We know we're supposed to have the armor on. We know we're supposed to have the word of God. There are two ways to fight the enemy. You can fight him. You can just grit your teeth and intercede and fight him and fight him in your own strength. But watch this. Another way, and this is a biblical way, to fight the enemy is for you to praise God and devote your life. Ignore the enemy and praise God. Enter the secret place and God will fight your enemies. So you're telling me I can either fight my enemies or I can enter the place, I can praise God and let God fight my enemies. And I love the Old Testament. That God said, we're going to go to war, get the soldiers together. You got the archers. You got the people with the swords. You got the whole group with the machine guns. We got that. There was no machine guns. We got all the warriors with whatever weapons they have. They're going to war. And God said, put in the front the singers. Put the women and the children with the tambourines. They are going to be on the front line. Now, come on. That was God's battle plan, is the front line wouldn't be the people with the swords, wouldn't be the people with the bow and arrows or whatever they had. It would be the people with enemy. I got a tambourine that I'm going to shake in your face. And what happened when Miriam and everyone else got the tambourines and began to praise God? What happened with the walls of Jericho? What happened over and over with Gideon? They blew a trumpet. They did not fire a howitzer. They fired trumpets. And God came through. Let God fight your battles.
Well, that is very biblical, because the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. And you can't fight them with tanks, and you can't fight them with machine guns or anything else. As we're getting ready to close and pray, it's going to take, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And these kind of weapons are the weapons of prayer, the weapons of intercessory prayer, the weapons of speaking in a heavenly language in tongues that the enemy cannot decode tongues. He may understand your language, but he can't understand the heavenly language that you speak to God and that God responds to you. And the enemy hates praise music, by the way. When I get in the car, I get the praise music going. You know, and I want to say this, step on toes if I want to. You know, the enemy's pretty okay with U.S. country. He's okay with Light FM. He's okay with B96, but he hates praise music. He hates the worship we have here in this house because that's breakthrough for our part. When you're about to break down, God's going to bring you a breakthrough. Do you know that sometimes you're close? And if you're under attack, can I say something to you? It's not because you're doing something wrong. Primarily, if you're a Christian and you're blood-bought, you're under attack because the enemy has targeted you. You're under attack because the enemy, you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness, not because you're in the kingdom of darkness, but it's an honor. You know, I heard my cousin say one time, it's a backhanded threat for the enemy to come against you and come out strong against you. That means he knows who you are. And I've always said, Lord, let my name be known in heaven, in the courts of heaven. Let it be known on earth, but most of all, let the people in hell know who I am. And that's what I pray for you, that the demons in hell will know who you are, because you are a blood-bought Christian. And do you need to fear the enemy? No, you do not need to fear the enemy. I know it's unpleasant to go through an attack. I get that. Do you think I understand what an attack is? The answer is in capital letters, Y-E-S. I absolutely do. But if you know in your heart you have done nothing to deserve this, you have lived right for God, you have treated people with love, respect, and honor, then you need to know this is from the pit of hell. And you need to fight with different weapons. But I want to tell you about the desperation that we said, Pastor Ken and I, you need to get desperate to serve God 100%. That means loving people, forgiving people. That means tithing. That means serving God, doing things. That means surrendering your life, worshiping God. It also means shunning evil, turning away from evil. It does. We serve God and turn away from evil. But I want to tell you how it pays to serve God when you're desperate. And I'm going to use my favorite desperate story in the Bible. And most of you know already, it is the story of Hezekiah. It is when Hezekiah became sick. And he became so sick. And a prophet of God, a man who had heard from God, said, "You are going to die. Get your things in order." Was the prophet lying? No, he was not. That was going to happen. However, but God. And you may be at that place, but God. So Hezekiah did not know what to do. What do you do with information like that? My pastor come to me. Pastor Ken comes up to Frida and he goes, "I've got a prophecy for you. You're going to die, Frida. Get your stuff together. You're going to die. Get your will." Boy, is that hard. He didn't know what to do, and here he is sick. So he thought, that's a possibility. He turns his face to the wall. That's all he knew to do. That's it. And cry out to God. God, but there is something he said that has always stuck with me. God, I have served you. I have lived for you, God. And this is the word concerning me. And God grabbed that prophet before he could get to the outer court. And he said, "Spin around, my son. You're going back with another word for this man." And the word changed, because like Pastor Ken said about science and the stars, the one who writes the playbook can change anything he wants except his love, his character, and his nature. And he told Hezekiah, "I'm going to do something for you." He never said, "No, you didn't serve God." And he never said he was perfect either. He said, "I'm going to give you 15 more years to your life." It's kind of a sad story, actually, because he didn't use it, those 15 years, wisely at all. He blew through the 15 years, but that don't mean God in his mercy and love didn't give him. What will God do for a person who's desperate like that? The woman who came to Jesus and poured out all, she was desperate. Ruth, desperate to start a new life. Rahab, desperate to be saved. You know what? I'm desperate. Are you desperate?
Well, I thought we'd close by doing something a little bit different. Frida, I'm going to ask you and a couple of the singers to come up. We're going to sing. We're going to sing a very simple song. "I've Decided to Follow Jesus," and thank you, Miss Erica. It's wonderful to have Miss Erica singing. Amen.
Great job,
I'm going to go to the piano in a second, but I want you to listen to these words. It's such a simple song. I have decided to follow Jesus. So we're going to, I want you to, what we're going to do is we're going, when I get on the piano, we need to make a decision for God. Satan needs to know what your decision is. The angels need to know. You need to know. And if that decision is, I've decided to follow Jesus, you need to not only sing the song, but you need to declare it. But the second verse says, though none go with me, still I'm going to suppose that no one in this church is going to choose to follow Jesus except for you. All right? But what will you do if no one else stands? If no one else, and that's the thing. The world's not going to follow Jesus with you. And then finally says, you can take the whole world. Just give me Jesus. Instead of saying, God, here's my plan, bless it. God said to Abraham, go. I'll show you where to go. We're just following. Where are we following? We are following. If you follow Jesus long enough, you will eventually run into him. Right? If I don't know where Freda is, but I say I'm going to start following her trail, if I keep following, eventually I'm going to run into her. Now, when a hunter shoots a deer that runs off, the hunter has an obligation to follow the blood trail. And if the blood of Jesus is on every book of the on every page of the Bible, if you decide you're going to follow the blood trail, you're going to eventually find yourself at the foot of the cross, where we find ourselves today. But don't stop there. It's a good place to stop, though. But don't stop there forever. After you followed the blood trail to the foot of the cross, follow it to hell, where Jesus went down there and took the keys to death, hell, and the grave from Satan and got victory over Satan. And it was while Jesus had died that he paralyzed the devil, and he made a show of him openly before all heaven and earth. All the angels, all of heaven was watching as the devil was paralyzed by Jesus when he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. But don't stop there, because Jesus then took that same blood and he took it to the mercy seat up in heaven, and he laid it on the mercy seat. And I'm telling you, if you follow the blood long enough, you wind up at the mercy seat. So this morning, it's decision time for me and for you. Who are you going to be this coming week? I want to be connected to God, and everywhere I go, I want that connection. So that involves me bowing my knee before God. So I'd invite you to stand, and if you would like to come to the altar, if you want to stand where you're at, I don't care, but this is a church-wide decision that we are going to make.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.